אתם עם SBS בעברית.
They are, but of course, as you know, it's taken more than a decade for us to get this far. But the good news is that the development application has been approved for the new project. Business model has been made, and the only thing left now is successful fundraising campaign over the next 3 weeks. If that succeeds, then the project will be viable and work can then start as early next year. It's going to be approximately a $55 million project, of course, at the old White City Tennis Center, which Hakoa bought about 6 years ago. And the development application includes a 300-seat function center, communal facilities, a gymnasium, an indoor pool, a big football synthetic field, and parking for 300 vehicles.
Well, where are they going to get $55 million to build it?
Yeah, it is quite an ambitious target. They're hoping that some key communal members and donors will do the bulk of the fundraising, and that it's backed up by the rest of the community, and also through when it opens, through a membership fees.
Shane, talking about money, there is an issue with Moriah College, not with the college itself, but one of the employees. And can you tell us what were the allegations? What's happened there?
Yes, so there was a financial manager employee called Gus Nosty, and he worked there actually for almost 15 years until March this year, when he left. And he is accused of fraudulent activity to the tune of taking more than $1 million from the college.
Wow. How did they discover it?
Yeah, so Moriah College's board sought legal and forensic advice about this when they discovered some funds were missing, and they notified police straight away. Being investigated, and the matter is actually started the court process earlier last week, and it's continuing next week.
Well, I hope they will recover the money, because you know, people are working really hard to send their children to the private school.
Absolutely.
And we're talking to Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to Shalom Australia SBS Radio with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, a terrible tragedy last week. A 14-year-old student at the Emmanuel School died in a freak accident.
Yeah, very, very sad. Year 8 student Alexei Bader sadly passed away. He was doing the sport he loved, kite surfing, and it was just a very unlucky freak accident that he had last weekend when he was kite surfing. Very windy conditions, and he ended up becoming airborne and landing on rocks, and he was treated at the scene, but very sadly he passed away later in hospital. The principal, Andrew Watt, said Emmanuel School community wishes his family long life, thoughts and prayers with him, and he described the Alexei as a much loved member of the Emmanuel community, described by his teachers as an energetic, down-to-earth and empathetic young man who was adored by his peers. He loved being outside and enjoyed playing rugby and being with his friends. So it's a very, very sad week for Emmanuel School.
It is very sad indeed. Shane, I've seen that Israel and New South Wales signed a water deal.
Yes, as you know, the drought is really affecting much of Australia, much of New South Wales, southern Queensland, even parts of Victoria. So it's very timely that Israel will now help to solve Australia's water woes as part of a new agreement signed in Jerusalem this week. The New South Wales Water Minister, Melinda Pavey, was in Israel for 2 days touring with the Australia-Israel Chamber of Commerce, and she ratified a memorandum of understanding with Israeli counterpart Yuval Steinitz and hailed Israel as a world leader in water recycling and reuse. And it's hoped that although the details of this agreement are yet to be determined, it's expected to thrust Israeli ideas and innovation to the centre of efforts to get New South Wales through the drought and prevent future water crises.
Shane, before we go to international news that are important to our listeners as well, the Australian Jewish Fertility Network raised over 180,000 after a moving event last week with the Prime Minister's wife. I must say I did attend that event and it was very moving, and they're doing very important work. They're helping many, many realizing the dreams of having a baby.
Yeah, that's right. So more than 350 people attended this event in Sydney's Paddington Shoreville Cinema. And as you mentioned, 180,000, that's a terrific amount of money raised at the one function. And Jenny Morrison, Scott Morrison's wife, spoke of the Morrison family's struggle to form their own family over 14 years. She said it was the holy grail IVF treatment. It's like a natural thing everybody else can do, but you are unable to. That's how it feels. And she said after multiple rounds of IVF, she underwent microsurgery for endometriosis and finally fell pregnant naturally, giving birth to their first child, Abby Rose, in 2007, and Lily 2 years later. Also with her was special guest speaker Peter Overton, who is married to journalist Jessica Rowe, and that couple also were able to have children only through IVF. As well as comedian and writer Mary Kustos, who had 23 rounds of IVF treatment before in 2013. She conceived using a donor egg and had a beautiful baby girl, Jamie. But this was like the lovely personal touches that really struck at the heart, and for the community to respond with raising $180,000 for Australian Jewish Fertility Network is just amazing.
We're talking to Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Shane, very briefly, I have to mention the election in Great Britain in December. I think the Jewish community is really worried about this election.
Yeah, so we've got actually a couple of pages of insights from our sister paper in the UK, the UK Jewish News, whose editor Richard Ferrer writes a very troubling piece about the UK Labour Party, and in particular Jeremy Corbyn, what he's done in the past, is how he's described Hezbollah and Hamas as friends, and also how the Jewish community in the UK is very worried what might happen if Jeremy Corbyn becomes Prime Minister. He pointed out that a study has shown that should that happen, a recent poll found that 47% of British Jews would actually consider emigrating, leaving Great Britain because of this.
Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at Australian Jewish News, thank you so much and have a great week.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.